Me. Okay.
Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 17. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. A few days later, Jesus came back to Capernaum. When the news spread that he was home, so many people gathered to hear him preach that the house was full. There was no place to stand, not even outside the door. Jesus was teaching them. Some people came, bringing a paralyzed man to Jesus. Four of them were carrying the paralyzed man, but they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd. So they went to the roof above Jesus and made a hole in the roof. Then they lowered the mat with the paralyzed man on it. Jesus saw that these men had great faith, so he said to the paralyzed man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." Some of the teachers of the law were sitting there. They saw what Jesus did, and they said to themselves, "Why does this man say things like that? He is saying things that are against God. Only God can forgive sins." At once Jesus knew what these teachers of the law were thinking. So he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to tell this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to tell him, 'Stand up, take your mat, and walk'? But I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, stand up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately the paralyzed man stood up. He took his mat and walked out while everyone was watching him. The people were amazed and praised God. They said, "We have never seen anything like this." Jesus went to the lake again. A crowd followed him there, and he taught them. While he was walking beside the lake, he saw a tax collector named Levi, son of Alphaeus. Levi was sitting in the tax office. Jesus said to him, "Follow me," and Levi stood up and followed Jesus. Later that day, Jesus ate at Levi's house. There were many tax collectors and sinners eating there with Jesus and his followers. Many people like this followed Jesus. The teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. They asked his followers, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said to them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. It is the sick who need a doctor. I did not come to invite good people. I came to invite sinners."
His authority to forgive sins and his earthly mission to call sinners rather than the righteous. Now, can anyone help me out? In this instance, who are the righteous? Yes, it's those who thought they were already good enough, the teachers of the law. But really, there is only one who is truly righteous, and that is Jesus. By healing that paralyzed man who'd been lowered through the roof, and then dining with the tax collectors and sinners, Jesus has revealed that he is the doctor for the spiritually sick and the physically sick. This really challenged the religious leaders who opposed Jesus. They had been used to twisting God's law by adding all sorts of extras to keep people from being saved. Jesus was clear. No extra man-made rules. Instead, he called for an honest and active faith, a heartfelt commitment to God. In verses 1 to 5, we really see faith, that is trust that Jesus is God and wants to help us, and persistence in action. The paralyzed man's friends demonstrated unreasonable faith. They went over the top by going up on the top. They broke through the crowds, they climbed the stairs, they opened the roof, they lowered their friend through to Jesus' feet. Wow. They could have said, "Oh no, look at the crowds. Let's not bother. How on earth will we get to where Jesus is? Oh, can you imagine what the bill for fixing the roof is going to be? Oh, let's go home." What if Jesus can't do it? But no. They roped up the mattress. They pushed through the crowds. They got up on the roof. They opened it up. They lowered him down. Jesus' reputation went before him. He'd already shown that he could heal people, whether they were sick of mind or body. The friends trusted that Jesus could help. And this gave them the determination, the persistence to do what was needed to get to Jesus. Overcoming obstacles to bring others to Jesus might well be God's calling to us. Maybe the vital part of our ministry or mission. We need to do what it takes to have faith and be persistent. Then we went on to verses 5 to 12. Then we went on to verses 5 to 12, and we see Jesus' authority to forgive. Jesus prioritizes the paralyzed man's deepest need first. Forgiveness for any wrongs he may have done, and restoration of his relationship with God the Father. That's before the physical healing. Although in this instance, Jesus actually dealt with both issues at the same time. In the act of healing the man, Jesus proves that he has the divine authority to forgive sins. The religious teachers correctly recognized that the power to forgive sins belongs to God alone. But as I mentioned earlier, with the youngsters, were forward. Sadly, they refused to recognize that Jesus was God, despite what they had heard and now seen with their own eyes. Following that marvelous healing, in verses 13 to 14, we move on to the calling of Levi, who we know better as Matthew, and we believe is the writer of Matthew's gospel. Matthew was a tax collector who Jesus spots sitting in his tax office or at the toll booth. You've probably heard, maybe even read for yourselves, that tax collectors were not very popular at this time in history. Nothing changes, really, does it? Israel was occupied and run by the Romans, who collected money to run their empire from the people they had conquered. But they used local tax collectors to gather in the money. What made these local tax collectors twice as unpopular was, one, they were working for the hated Romans, and two, they tended to add on their extra share of money on top of what the Romans required. Yet Jesus calls Matthew, a hated tax collector, to follow him, to be one of his disciples. And he goes back to Matthew's house for dinner. And even more tax collectors, double, are there, and other wrongdoers and sinners. What was Jesus thinking? I know, you were listening. Jesus was demonstrating that through him, God's grace is available to everyone, even the unpopular outsiders of society. To answer the criticism of eating with sinners, wrongdoers, Jesus declares beautifully in verse 17, healthy people don't need a doctor. It is the sick who need a doctor. I did not come to invite good people. I came to invite sinners. Now, Jesus doesn't actually say really that he doesn't want good people. He calls everyone. What he doesn't want is the people who think they're good already, without having repented and without having committed to Jesus. But sometimes we need to think, we need to listen, we need to listen to God in particular, speaking to us. It's a beautiful, beautiful message. Jesus has said that God's kingdom is for everyone, anyone. It includes wrongdoers, it includes the broken, who recognize that they need Jesus. It's not for those who are puffed up and overconfident in their own righteousness. Jesus would go on to pay, and as we look back on history, has already paid the price for all sin, so that any who accept Jesus as God and say sorry for their sins are accepted as the children of God. So to summarise, while practical needs and physical illness can be very painful and challenging, and they must never be made light of, this earthly life is temporary. God's forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of our biggest needs, is everlasting. It lasts forever. It's eternal. Although Jesus lived as a man among us humans, he holds authority on earth to do what only God can do, to forgive sins and to change hearts. This passage presents Jesus as a revolutionary figure who goes beyond the rules to seek out and restore the lost and broken. Following in Jesus' example, the church as a family and we as individuals are called out to reach to those who are broken and sinful, to love them. Not just those who might think themselves good or righteous. As Jesus likened himself to the doctor, the church can liken itself to the hospital, and we can all be paramedics to follow his example and to do his will on earth until he calls us home. Amen.